Hi, this is Kathy Forstie reporting from Folk Alliance International here in Kansas City, Missouri. We're doing interviews throughout the day with some of our favorite artists on KCCafe Radio, and one of our favorites and a music legend is Freebo. And Freebo's joining us today here in our hotel room at the Sheraton in Kansas City. Thanks for coming by, Freebo.
Good morning, Kathy. How you doing?
Good. It's good
Good morning
to
all you KCCafe Radio folks out there, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening.
Yeah, exactly, because it can be any time of the day. You're a KCCafe Radio listener. So you've got a new album that came out last year that we've been playing several tracks from on KCCafe Radio.
Oh, great. Thank you.
If Not Now, When is the name of the CD, and So make sure you check that out. Request a couple of tunes off of it. Tell me about how long did it take you to record that CD, and why did you choose the direction you chose for that CD?
Well, for me, the songs just kind of come out one at a time. And then I put them together on a CD. I think when you have a song cycle, some people actually focus on what the song cycle is going to be, like Susan Warner, for instance, whom I saw yesterday, is just, you know, fabulous artist. For me, I kind of write about what's going on, which would make it a song cycle. But I also sometimes I'll just get, you know, a hook in my head, you know, some sort of an expression that I hear somebody say and say, oh, that's where you write it down, turn it into a chorus, and that becomes the point of the song, and then fill it in with the verses and fill it in with the music. And when I put the album together, and I said album, CD, record, because I think sequencing is really important.
Yeah.
Where you put each track so that it's a body of music rather than just a collection of songs.
Yeah. Would your other people listen to your music as a whole, or does it?
I would like them to listen to it as a whole. I mean, I know it's a little different these days. It's, you know, it's almost like a singles market back in the 50s and 60s, you know, with MP3s. But I think when you listen to a whole album, at least the way I do it, you get a picture of the person, of the artist who's doing it, and how they feel about things, what their perspective on life is. I think that's really what art is about. It's for us artists, whether it be through the medium of music or painting or sculpting or writing, you give a view of the world as you see it, a picture of the world. You paint that in one way or another, and then it's up to the reader, the listener, the observer to see that. And they not only get a picture of you, but they get a picture of how you see your perspective. And I think that can be helpful. I mean, how many times have we heard a song or read something where we go, oh, my gosh, I thought I was the only one who thought of that.
Exactly.
Or, oh, gee, I never thought of that before. So I think that's part of the role we play. And hopefully, you know, we entertain as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to try to make it something relatable. At least, if not relatable, something that people can take it to their heart.
Well, and that you got it, Kathy. It's for me, it's heart. I like to write from the heart. That doesn't mean it has to be a serious song. I mean, one of the songs on my CD is "She Loves My Dog More Than Me."
Yeah.
But it's from the heart because I actually did look up on the bed with my wife and the dog, and I just kind of kidded and said, you know, I think you love the dog more than me. And when she didn't answer, I said, well, I think I need to write that song. So
exactly,
I did. So
yeah.
So it's funny, and but it's true.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not saying it's true that she loves the dog more than me, but at that
maybe
moment,
at some
it felt
does,
that it, well, it felt that way. And it's amazing how many people relate to that.
I think there's sometimes my husband loves my dog more than me too. So
works both ways.
Exactly. And you have another funny song on there about GPS, right?
Oh, my personal GPS.
Yes.
Well, it's funny in a way. I mean, it's a little tongue in cheek, but it's actually a fairly serious point, and I use that in my speaking. I've gotten into speaking. I do
really?
This thing called keynote concerts.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like a keynote speech, but it's augmented with music. So I'll do four or five or six songs, depending on how long I have. And the point of the talk is called Heed Your Calling, If Not Now, When.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so I use
that's
that
great.
That song, If Not Now, When. And the point of the whole talk is that I've been very lucky. I've had a wonderful career in music, and I happened to wander into a rock and roll band in the 60s, and we got a record deal with Atlantic, and in the process, we were opening for groups like Procol Harum and the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin, Big Brother, and in the process, I met an 18-year-old Bonnie Raitt, who was just getting started and didn't have a record deal, and she was a big fan of the band, and a couple years later, when the band broke up, she got her record deal with Warner Brothers, and she asked me if I would play in the first record because she liked the way I played bass and I had some experience, and would I do some gigs beforehand, and that lasted over 10 years and eight records. And I had framed myself at that point as a bass player, and it felt like that was my path and that's what I needed to do, and I was heeding my calling. And to a certain extent I was, in that I'm a musical guy, and I'm not a 9-to-5 guy, never have been. The doctor thing didn't work out. Me and organic chemistry didn't exactly, you know, see eye to eye until I did my own organic chemistry experiments in the 60s. And so what happened was, back to the GPS, is that to me the personal GPS is that inner guidance system that we all have.
Yeah.
And it tells us when we're doing the right thing for our higher purpose, for us, and it works through emotions. So when we are doing the right thing, it's calm. I said, go ahead, you're cool. But we're not. For me, it's an emotional thing where I call it a burning, churning, yearning. It's an uncomfortable feeling somewhere in my body and a yearning for something else. And it's telling me to recalculate. You're not doing the right thing for yourself. And even though I was playing great places and everything, I had this constant thing going on. And it turns out it took me to 45 years old till I realized what it was about. It was about the fact that I was only just scratching the surface of my creativity, and I had all these ideas, and they were just dying to come out, and I had nowhere to put them. I can only put so much in the bass. And so I made a conscious decision to start writing songs, because that was the vessel into which I could put these ideas. And that unlocked all of this, these creative juices in me. And so now, being way past 45, my GPS is nice and calm. I love what I do. I feel like I'm fully expressing myself, because I think that's what we want to do as human beings. We want to be seen for who we are. And it took me a long time to figure out, well, gosh, if I want to be seen for who I am, gee, I need to show myself for who I am.
You gotta be who you are.
Be who you are, but show yourself who you are. And it takes a while to do that. So I think everybody has this inner guidance system, which I call my personal GPS. And it does. It leads us on a journey. It tells us right from wrong. And if we follow it, I think we will eventually heed our calling. And the point of what I talk about in the talk, what I truly believe, is that when we find our calling and find it, you got to look for it. But when we find it, whatever it happens to be, could be a healer, could be a teacher, could be a radio dish jockey, could be anything that really feeds your spirit, that makes you feel good. You say, I have a purpose and I'm making a difference. When that happens, I think that's when we find our happiness, because it's an inside job and you can't get it on the outside. You can't buy it. You know, you can't do it through geographics. It all goes somewhere else, because wherever you go, there you are. So that's kind of what the whole talk is about. And of course, I use If Not Now, When, and then I end with Standing Ovation, which is a song of mine, which is basically, you know, the chorus is, when I die, give me a standing ovation, a celebration for a job well done. And so I think it's a good metaphor to go to one's funerals. Okay, what do I want my funeral to be like? What do I want people to say about me when I died? What do I want my life to have been? And if I can think that way, that I can now go back in the present time and say, okay, what do I have to do now to get that standing ovation? And it's not out of ego that I want a standing ovation. It's like, no, what do I want to do to where I've fulfilled my purpose? And I think, I mean, it would be a beautiful celebration for everybody to give them a standing ovation at their funeral.
Yeah, my sister just passed away last month. And her personal philosophy in life was finish well. And I wrote a song about that. And,
beautiful.
Yeah. And basically it's, you know, it's like, you know, you lived your life and you lived it well, you know. And,
exactly.
And she did in life what she wanted to do in life, but she was a kind person. You know, you can you can do a lot of crazy things in life, but if you don't treat people with respect, then you've really not lived a life well. And
that's right. Well, Maya Angelou said, said they'll never remember what you said, but they'll always remember how you made them feel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's great. So let's talk a little bit. You have a concert on Sunday at the Unity Church in Independence, right?
Yep.
Is it a concert, or is it one of your talk?
No. It's actually I'm part of the service.
Okay.
I'm doing special
music.
But on Monday night, I'm doing a house concert. And okay. Where did I say that was?
You said it was in Raytown.
In where?
In Raytown, Missouri.
Raytown, yes. And if you go to my Facebook page, mm-hmm. Or my website is freebomusic.com, F-R-E-E-B-O. Uh-huh. Or my Facebook page, which is Freebo F, Freebo.
Okay.
The information's on there if you're a Kansas City person.
Okay, yeah, I think Raytown's it's a fairly just down early the street show from Independence. So.
What's that?
Raytown's just down the street from Independence.
Oh, it
Independence,
is?
Yeah, okay. So they're kind of connected.
Both of which are far from here.
Not too far, no.
Long walk, though.
It's a very long walk. Yeah. You don't walk there.
Yeah, I think somebody's going to give me a ride, hopefully.
Well, and so what else are you doing musically? Are you got anything new coming out in the future, or are you still pushing?
I'm starting
this new
a new record.
Okay.
I just finished recording the song that I recorded and played hundreds of times with Bonnie Raitt, John Prine's song, Angel from Montgomery.
Yeah, I heard you do that last year.
Thank you.
We did a show at the Unity in Lee Summit.
I was probably just getting it together then. Well, it's a wonderful song.
It's one of my favorites.
I don't do a whole lot of covers, but there's something about that song that speaks to me just mm-hmm. about, desperation and life going by and picturing the woman smoking a cigarette, sitting at her table and just going, how did this happen to me?
Yeah.
But again, having done it so much with Bonnie, and Bonnie really made the song famous. And
right.
At one point, I don't know if somebody said, can you play that? And I worked out my own arrangement, and I just really love it. So I just recorded that, and it's
it's
pretty cool. And I've got four or five other songs written that are ready to record, and a whole bunch of pieces that I have my co-writers, mm-hmm. On alert to let's finish these things. So certainly by the time I come back next year, there'll be a new record out. And I also have a book in me that's just screaming to come out. And I think in a way that'll be a kind of an extension of the talk heed mm-hmm. your calling. I don't know what the title's going to be. Maybe it'll be The World According to Freebo. I don't know. I have no idea, but I just know I need to get it going. So that's like a little mountain in front of me, but
yeah.
I need to not picture it as a mountain if I just start. You know how it is. You see this huge mountain, but all of a sudden you start walking and you say, oh my God, I have such a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn around and you say, oh, look how far I've come.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's great. I'll look forward to hearing that and reading the book. So.
I'll look forward to writing it.
Yeah, I definitely want to read that. So,
thank you.
Well, thank you for coming by and chatting with us today on KC Cafe Radio. It's always a pleasure to see you and hear
thank you.
And I'll try to make it out to the house concert. I can't promise I can, but thanks a lot for coming by. And
yeah, I'll come back because I've really grown to love Kansas City.
Yeah.
I played here years ago with Bonnie and. Actually played here with the Blues Busters at the, was it called the Grand Emporium?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Played there years ago, and that was a great place. But
yeah.
Obviously, this town has so much musical history.
Yeah, we got a lot of great venues around, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Well, thanks for
everybody.
Doing this, Kathy. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for being here on KC Cafe Radio. Freebo, everyone.
Bye, everybody.